Greetings and welcome all to the Knights of the Tabletop podcast. Every week, our intrepid cast of gamers will do their level best to somehow ruin their game master's intricately designed adventure. But without further ado, here is your game master, Scormy.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Knights of the Tabletop. I'm your guide, Scormus. And with me today, we have a short crew.
I'm not short.
You're a little short.
No, I'm not. I'm not short.
I'm long where it counts.
So joining me today, we have Peelus.
Yes, and my 60-inch long foot. Just one.
You might be thinking centimeters, not inches, but whatever. And also 10.
Hi.
That was the whole joke, and you trampled right over it.
I did. So, hope y'all enjoyed our Halloween October break from Pugmire. You know, that was interesting playing a little Dead of Night. Although you may have noticed we were a little rushed and a little short on time. So, yeah, that could have been a lot better adventure. But
we apologize.
We had mostly fun.
Yeah, we had fun.
People got into the spirit of things. Pum-pum-tsh. Anyway, we're back to Pugmire.
Yay.
Now for November and December. So, at least that's the plan. But we're doing the November shows with Beowulf and 10. And first of all, why don't you guys reintroduce your characters?
I am playing Topper. Topper is a level 2 guardian. He's a good boy.
Topper's a very good boy.
I think so.
And 10?
I am playing Sasha. She's a level 2 hunter. Likes family and
long walks on the beach.
Yeah.
Shooting badgers in the face with their bow.
Oh yeah, badgers need to die. Sorry, badgers really need to die.
Yeah, badgers suck.
I'm just, you know, a common folk, you know. But those badgers really need to die.
Yes.
Anywho, this is about a month after we left you off with that rather sad ending to the September shows. You guys have established the Pioneer House in Chutoy and have been, you know, getting staff brought in to manage it and things like that.
That's good because I'm not a manager.
Now, Percival, the house manager back in Mutt Town, has been reassigned, and he is now house manager in Chutoy. So you have a familiar contact there, which is one of the reasons he requested it, is because, you know, he knows y'all, and his cousin lives here. You know him. Friar Fluff?
Ah.
They're both corgis of the corgi family.
So you're saying all corgis know each other, huh?
No, I'm saying they happen to be more closely related. They're in the corgi
profiler
family. Okay. So, so you are hanging out, let's see. Mags and Fallon are off doing their own thing right now, so
they're on a beach together.
Okay.
Well, isn't that what they're doing?
Perhaps. I don't remember.
They were going down the coast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, they're off at the river.
And some beach somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's 5 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock.
Anyway, So Percival catches up to you two.
Hey! Hey, friends! I really want to thank you for all the work you've done getting everything set up here in Chutai. And you've done a wonderful job.
Of course.
I know you're kind of probably itching to get back out there doing stuff. So, you know, get out of town. Get, you know, a little adventure in. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, we got a big mountain over there. And it's full of plastic. Now all the miners are making all kinds of coin up there with that plastic. But there's also a lot of artifacts up there. And we'd like them. The society would really like, you know, go and try and find some artifacts. And if you find something that really works for you, then we can arrange that to be your personal artifact.
Okay.
What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
That's a good use for a couple days out in the fresh air away from town.
All right.
All right, then. So it's settled. And he wanders off to go chase down some other staff member.
He's weird.
A little too hyper.
Itchy.
He's a corgi.
Yes.
Sorry. I know y'all can't hear the wiggle, so wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Yes.
I like corgis. Anyway, so what do you want to do?
Well, we should probably go look into getting supplies.
Yep. Supplies sound good.
Alrighty then.
We'll check with the headquarters, see if they have anything that we might need.
Okay.
I have rope. I have backpack and bedroll and most things I need, but I'm not sure what we're going to need for sure.
Well, you don't know him, but there's a bulldog that got brought in recently as the, you know, he's the new quartermaster. You haven't really had a chance to talk with him much. So,
wait.
Gonna go pound on his office door. He has an office right next to a big supply closet.
Hey. We need supplies.
You're
sending us up the mountain to look for stuff.
Oh, yeah. What'd you have in mind? You know, we're still bringing stuff in, but I might be able to get you some stuff.
You got a small tent?
Gets his keys and starts unlocking this door. How many you got with you on your team?
Two of us, I think.
He starts rifling through, looking around. I got a foreman. Will that work?
Yeah.
Suppose so.
Pulls it off, tosses it to you. Anything else?
I have an iron pot, so we just need some rations.
Rations? I got rations. How many days do you think you're going to be out?
10 days.
Oh, that's a lot of days. Let's see.
If we don't need it, we'll bring it back.
Let's see. Gets a bag and starts tossing rations in.
Hey. When do you want to leave?
What time is it now?
About 9 in the morning.
We can go now.
Wait, this is two of you?
I think so.
Don't know of anybody else going with us.
Alright.
It's just the mountain.
And goes and locks up the supply closet and goes back to his office. Guy's shaking his head.
We'll go let them know we're ready to go.
Okay.
See if they have any other instructions.
Yeah, head back to the house and...
Well, you're in the house. It's
best part of it. Go back to where
the house is. I need to go find Percival.
Yeah.
He's in the kitchen.
Hey.
Area.
Percival.
Hey!
We're about ready to go.
Oh!
Yeah. Stop by the church.
Okay. We'll go stop by the church.
And why? You
know why?
Yeah. Fluff wants to go.
Oh. Okay.
You know, he kind of needs out and about, and maybe not be so scared of his shadow.
Oh, good. I was thinking maybe you want us to take him out to go pee. Walksies.
Needs walksies.
All right.
He's always dancing around. Just thought he had to pee a lot.
Fine, I'll give you a fortune for that. Fine.
I wasn't fishing for fortune.
It wasn't that.
I was. Damn it, we need all the help we can get.
We'll work for it, damn it. Make me laugh.
Okay, so we will head towards the church.
Okay. As you arrive, or you start coming close, out of the front doors, and there's some steps. You go up to them. You see a little corgi wearing a hooded cloak that's all mounted up. He's got apparently a very large backpack on, and he's got all kinds of belt with pouches and stuff. He's just massively mounted down with stuff with a walking stick. And he's like, oh, hi!
Hi, Fluff.
Hey, Fluff. You want to carry our tent for us? I understand if you can't do it.
No.
No, you're sure, so mean.
I guess.
Fluff, he's joking.
Oh, good.
Sort of.
I didn't know what we needed, so I kind of brought a slot.
Brought a slot?
A lot.
Oh.
Do we need you a pack mule, maybe?
I can't reach. I've got a tent back here. If I don't need it, that would be great.
We have a four-man tent.
You can sleep in the share of the tent.
You want to get under his cloak and pull the tent off the bottom of his back?
Pardon me.
We asked you to
hear it. Oh, yeah, pardon me.
And it's all strapped on. He's just, I mean, he's...
You're taking off his strap on, huh?
No.
Well, he is a priest.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Excuse me.
Maybe a priest, but he's not a eunuch. He doesn't need a strap on.
Are you sure of that? And how would you know?
No, I don't know, and I don't want to know. Thank you very much.
Anyway, he appears to be carrying, like, a big book and a bunch of other religious stuff and whatnot in there as well.
He needs... You seriously need a mule.
Oh, I'll be fine. Do I need the silver candles, though?
No.
Silver...
I think
I've never done this before.
I think we need to look at what you have. And
he takes his cloak off and he opens it. He brought like enough to set up a little chapel.
Probably not necessary.
If you want to have a chapel with you, you need to make everything very portable and lightweight. So like candlesticks only, because you light the candle and you burn a little bit of wax to put on the rock, and then you stick the stub into the hot wax. Ooh. And bring your book, because you'll probably need your book, but I don't know. Is it a spell book?
Well, it's his the entire Book of Man. You know, basically their Bible. It's massive. It's like a 20-pound book.
I'm not sure
if... He really doesn't need
that. Fluff, I'm not sure if you're going to need this. Would you use it... Do you use this every single day?
He doesn't need it for spells. Oh, that's fine.
I'm in character. Do you use this every single day?
No.
So common sense when dealing with other people, correct? That's what you do, correct?
Yeah.
Then I'd say leave the book behind. It'll be safe.
Oh, yeah.
So that's 20 pounds off your back.
Okay. So he brings his pack in, gets rid of the silver candelabra. Like, silver candelabra.
I think we should bring the book. Just in case we run out of leaves.
Oh, you're horrible.
But it's a good fire starter, too.
Oh, my God. So he leaves the book. He leaves a silver candelabra. He leaves a couple other, you know, portable altar and altar cover and all this sort of thing. He now has a pack that has food, some extra clothes, a little bit of, you know, medical kit, you know, first aid kit sort of thing, and little small sundries. And it's much better. But it has still the cloak and the walking stick anyway.
Well, yeah, you probably need it anyways.
All right.
I think I have to.
So he's ready. Now what would you like to do?
I guess we head out of town.
Okay. So...
Oh, okay.
Okay. Just making sure we didn't need to pause or something.
No, we're fine.
All right. So, you can see Mount Landfill at the edge of town, basically. It's got some rolling foothills that lead into it, very grassy foothills, sparse trees, and kind of the central Willamette Valley sort of look as you head into the towards the mountains. And Mount Landfill itself is a big, massive, grassy mound.
Okay.
With, you know, it's, you know, not a regular shape, just mound. It's got fissures and whatnot, too.
How long is it going to take us to get there?
Not long. You'll be out there within the day.
Okay.
On foot, even. So, off you go.
I say we go to the mining camp, talk to the head of the miners. We should be able to get information about the mine itself.
Well, actually, there's multiple mines. It's basically a bunch of prospectors, like the Gold Rush.
Ooh.
So it's not one centralized mine. There's individual miners or small groups of miners that are digging their own mines, trying to make their own fortunes. There are some larger mines, but... mostly, it's just a bunch of people just digging holes. And then you've got other people up there specifically just looking for artifacts, whatever they can find out on the surface, or with small digs.
I assumed we were going into the mine.
No. Okay. Well, not into any particular one. So,
excellent. And let's go.
You go wandering on, and you spend... a few hours wandering through the foothills, you see some... There's one main, well-worn road, basically, that heads up that way. And it gets thinner and has small trail shoot-offs of it as you go. You know, some heading towards the north face, some heading towards the west face and south face, basically, out from it. The east face is on the far side of the mountain. So, which way are you going to head towards? The main, right up directly across from the mountain? You're going to try and go around this side or go around the north or south side?
Well, we should take the path less traveled.
Okay, that'd be heading off towards probably the north side.
Because, I mean, it's more likely you're going to find something if you're if there not as many people have been through there.
Right. Okay, so you're heading off that way. And I forgot to start a timer. So, that's... never mind.
Brr.
And we're not there yet. You spend the first day kind of wandering around. You see mostly everything's undisturbed except for the trails. You'll see that there's one big mine on the west face. That was the first mine. And then you start heading off towards the north. And the trail gets a little more sparse. Grass is a little higher and less disturbed. See less offshoot trails heading up the mountain. Less obvious mines and people coming and going has gotten a lot more sparse. And towards the end of the end of the day, as the sun's going down, basically to your back in the west, probably you find an area that seems like a fairly good place to camp.
Okay. I will set up the tent.
Okay.
I'll go gather some firewood for a meal.
There is a tree that's in the process of losing its leaves, and it's starting to come on into the fall, just about 100 feet away.
Pick up some of the sticks on the ground, da-da-da-da.
I got a 14 survival for setting up the tent.
Not even an issue. They have pretty... The pioneers have fairly standardized gear.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how to put these together fairly easily.
I just wanted to let you know what his role was, just cool. So. If I failed miserably, you know, tent could, like, collapse in the middle of the night or something along those lines.
Okay. And let's see. Alright, so I assume you guys make up some meals and whatnot.
Sure.
So as you're sitting there, Fluff's adding a few little bits into the food to kind of, you know,
spice it up,
stretch it out a little bit, make it a little less than just eating basic
rations.
Basic field chow. So, hey, I know we haven't really spoke much in the last month or so. Why don't you guys just tell me a little bit about yourselves? I really don't know much.
Not got, much to tell.
You got, one thing I like to do is to get to know people is just tell me a little tale. Just a short little tale, that, you know, some maybe a humorous anecdote that happened to you.
When me and my band were out trying to stop bandits, we got to a farmhouse and they had murdered the entire family.
Oh no!
And we got to watch one of the little children die. It was horrible. But I cleaved in some heads because of it.
Well, I hope so.
Yes, they all paid.
Oh, boy, those are bad dogs.
Oh, they're dead dogs.
Very dead dogs.
That's for the best.
Yes, and one of my mercenary friends, he used to collect tails. He would cut them off and put them on a necklace.
Ew. Okay.
What, he needed to keep count? He wasn't that bright.
I think ears would work better.
Sasha! Do you have anything? Maybe a little lighter? Happy story, maybe?
Oh, you wanted happy.
No fun.
Yeah.
No.
Yay.
No. I don't. There is no happy. There's monsters out there, and monsters are not good. Which is why we got the fire, because you know, my fire will keep the monsters away.
Oh,
we need except to kill for the burning ones.
Shush! We need to kill all monsters.
Well, then there's the big wet ones. Fire doesn't bother them.
Topper, I don't like you right now.
What?
You're being mean.
They like eating little dogs.
Fluff, if he could turn white, just did. He's sitting there shivering next to a burning fire.
You're so mean. He's just trying to scare you, Fluff. I'm sure of it. I hope.
Oh my god.
What?
You're supposed to tell him something funny, happy, ha ha.
It's funny until the swamp wraith eats you.
Oh god.
Yes, just a joke.
Oh, okay. One time when I was in, back in seminary school in the capital, in a very, very safe chapel with guards all around, everything was, you know, nice and safe. And we didn't worry about anything. And so my mates and I, we decided we would play a trick on one of the teachers. And we snuck out and went into his classroom and hid all of his materials for the next day. Now, we just put him in a supply closet where he just wouldn't look. But when we went there, we were doing all this stuff, and my friend, Tony, he was carrying a bunch of stuff. He didn't want to do one load. He wanted to do a bunch of load, you know, just, you know, do it all as quick as possible. And that was probably for the best, because we were coming out, and a guard was down the hall and saw us. So we're running, and he's running as fast as he can with things falling, all kinds of little jars and stuff. He couldn't hold on to it all. He's leaving little trails of stuff. So I was able to sneak, you know, run off and get out of view. And they caught him because he kept dropping these jars and little materials and stuff. He left a trail for himself. It was so funny.
Uh-huh.
It was. It was good. Well, it wasn't good for Tony. Yeah. But no, those were good days.
So you played pranks in your younger year?
One.
We played a prank like that once. We disassembled the teacher's horse and put it back together in his office. It was funny.
Did he have there was this some one of those wondrous artifacts?
Just a horse.
That must have been messy.
Really messy. What? It was funny at the time.
And Fluff's unconscious.
Okay. Job well done.
Why are you tormenting poor Fluff?
Because Topper's an asshole.
And Topper's a bad dog.
Oh, okay. I have fun.
I really have to remember to set my timer.
That's a good place to cut it off at.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So, yeah, that was a thing.
That was a thing. Why are you torturing us? You're just evil. And the whole hissy thing, that the mattress almost came down.
Uh-huh. I know.
No, I was telling him.
Yeah, I heard it.
Anyway, so, for myself and Beerless and Ten, the current Knights of the Tabletop, bye!
Bye!
Thank you for joining us on the Knights of the Tabletop podcast. Please return for our continuing adventures next week, and let us know what you think of the show at scoremy.com, or whatever service you use to receive this podcast.